I want to give everybody an update about the shipping of the container that we have sent to Brother Casimir there in Haiti. We sent it to him a little over a month ago, and we estimated the... By the way, he got the container. He got all of the contents of the container either yesterday or Friday, and tomorrow he's supposed to get the truck. It took a little bit more effort and time with the truck because of some title issues. But we estimated the cost of him getting the container and the truck out of customs at around $17,000. Last time we sent him a container, we were gasping at the fact that they were charging $12,000. Because the one before that, it was only $8,000. So we assumed that with the truck being in this container, it was going to cost more, and it did. So we figured it would be around $17,000, and that's what we sent him, because that's all we had. Well, he then told me last week that the cost was $19,300. And he had to spend $1,500 for insurance before he could even drive the truck from the customs to his house. So bottom line is he was running short on money, and our church sent him our regular monthly support last week, which helped to bring it up to where he needed. The problem was that money that we sent was for food. And to pay his school teachers and to pay his pastors the little bit of money he tries to give some of them and all of that. And he had to use that money to help get the customs fee taken care of. I'm saying all that to say this. He's needing some help. Praise God, we were able to put a lot of things on that container for him that he needed badly, especially that truck.
Yeah.
And he's got that stuff, but he's got regular bills just like you and I have on a monthly basis too. And I'm saying that to say this, we need to try to come up with some extra to give to him this week. And so if God's put it on your heart and in your wallet to give something, do so, please. And we'd like to send something to him this week sometime.
Amen, amen. And Brother Bruce is going to talk to Brother Casimir after the services today, if he can get up with him. Try to find to figure out what that exact need might be, and we'll consider tonight, even as a church. We've been blessed this past month with some extra, so we'll see what we might be able to send to help meet that need if everybody's on the same page with that. All right? Does that sound good? So we'll talk about that tonight a little bit more. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. And it's not a long psalm, so we'll read the entire psalm. I do want to share a thought with you this morning that you need somehow to remember this. You might want to try to memorize the scriptures or do something so a year or two down the road, if you face events like this, you'll say, hey, I know the Bible addresses this, and I know what I need to do. If you don't do that, you'll face times like this, and you won't have any instruction from the Lord, and you won't know how to respond to times like this in your life. So whatever you do that helps you to remember something, then I want to strongly urge you to try to remember this, because all of us need this from time to time. And you'll see as we get into the message what we're talking about. My subject this morning is forgotten of God. And that goes with a question mark. We're never really forgotten of God, but sometimes we feel that way. And that's what the psalmist is trying to deal with. I love the Psalms because the Psalms helps us when we're on the mountain to rejoice and worship and just be so free-hearted and praise God. But it also helps us when we're in the valley, when everything turns against us and we have no help from anywhere. And it doesn't even seem like God wants to help us. And the Psalms will address those times in your life. I've tried to help people that are going through like depression. And my advice to them is read through the Psalms. Because David deals with those dark days that some of us come in contact with. Some more often than others. And he tells you how to respond in those times of great emptiness and difficulty. So let's read that psalm. Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? And that's you can tell he's thinking this is going on for a long time. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Notice how he ends this psalm. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, my words are meaningless, will not help your people at all. They need to hear your words. And I just pray that and ask you that you would speak through me words of life, Lord, words of instruction, words of encouragement, and that you might use this message to help us, Lord, today. And if we're not going through times like this today, when we face them down the road, I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every heart in a strong and powerful way. If there are those among us that are unsaved, would you please open up their heart to the gospel, to the love of the Lord Jesus, and draw them to Christ that they might receive Jesus this morning as their Savior. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The psalmist is talking about times that every Christian will go through. Every Christian will face an experience, some more often than others, when it seems like God is nowhere to be found. That your soul has dried up. That when you pray, you'll feel like you're just saying words. You won't feel like you're getting the ear of God. You won't feel like your prayers are going above even to touch the roof. It feels like when you're praying, it just pours out and it goes to the ground. And it's really, I'm really not doing anything much more than just talking. Where is God? Sometimes even if you turn to fasting, you can be in a time where you're saying, Lord, I got to find you. And so you go to a period of fasting and it still feels like even in that period of time, I cannot find God. Those are some of the most difficult, darkest days that a Christian will ever experience. Now let me warn you about one thing. This is not because David has sinned. Sin certainly will bring a wall between you and God and break off fellowship. And the only way to restore that fellowship is to turn from your sin in repentance and say, God, I'm sorry for these acts of disobedience, but in some period you can have done all of that, searched your heart, as far as you know, there's nothing between you and God, and it still feel like that you have been abandoned by the divine. My father shared with me one time that at a young age, he was called to preach. My dad was called to preach. And at 16, he was preaching. And he said that he would go to pray, pray with other men, and when they prayed, it seemed like the room got brighter. They could so sense the presence of God when they were praying that it was almost electrifying. Like, God is here. How many of you have ever experienced that when you're praying? You know, maybe not the glowing brighter of the light, but I know God is here. I'm with God. I'm spending time. I'm not just reading my Bible and trying to spend time with God. God is here. And then he said there was a period of time where he would pray and there was nothing. And he would preach and it would just like he was just going through the motions, saying words. And it lasted a long period of time. And then finally Dad made a decision, well, if God is not going to be with me, why should I be with him? And he walked away from God. That was my dad's testimony. For some reason, he read a verse in Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church, when God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. And daddy took it for him to mean, I want you all in the church or all in the world. And so since he wasn't all in the church anymore, he thought, well, I'll just go all in the world. And so he started doing what every ungodly, worldly person does. You know, the cussing and fighting and drinking and smoking and all that goes along with it. Amen? And because he did that, it affected our family life. Can you imagine if Daddy had weathered this storm and he went on to be a pastor and Mom was a pastor's wife and he had these seven kids and he brought them up in the church and taught them about spiritual things. That would have been a different life for me as a child. I didn't know that life as a child. I knew the life of all in the world as a child, which meant the police coming over, arresting Dad for, you know, marital conflicts and Dad on the porch with a shotgun, you know, with neighbors, and Mom having the baseball bat behind the door when Dad come home drunk, and us going to bars trying to find out which one Dad was at that evening. And I'm not saying this to dishonor my dad. That was the life that we lived. He did love us and cared for us, but that was the life that we lived of fighting and arguments. And I remember I would hide in the closet. I'd pull myself up on the rack for the clothes, and I could squeeze in between the two walls. So I would squeeze my legs, and I'd just sit there. And I thought, nobody can find me here. If they look under there, they can't see my feet. They look out, they won't see my hands holding on. I felt the safest ever in that closet when they were doing all this. I would to God somebody would have come to Daddy and said, hey, this is a normal experience in every Christian's life. You know what? Sometimes God does that because he wants you not to gauge your obedience on feelings and electricity and great atmosphere. He wants your faith to be based on the facts and his words. And when you're out there all alone and it seems like you can't get a hold of God, that's what you have to do. You have to base your next steps on, I believe God and I will be obedient to God if I never hear from God ever again. If he forgets me until he calls my name at the judgment seat, I will follow Jesus Christ. But no one said that to my dad. And I want to say that to all of us today. I need to be reminded of this, and I hope maybe some of you will get some help from this as well. I want to talk just briefly about the dryness. That is when you're trying to praise God, and guess what you feel like? You feel like a complete hypocrite. You ever do that? Everybody else is there. Their heart's in it. You can tell them, and they are on fire, and you're in the middle of it, and you're just saying the words, and you realize, I feel like just a complete hypocrite. I mean, I must be the only one here that just faking this because I don't feel anything. By the way, it'll be that way at times. At times where you'll go to read and the Word of God and it'll just seem like it's a dry, normal book and you can't hear. Sometimes I try to put out devotional thoughts, but then sometimes I struggle because I don't want to just send thoughts, okay, I've got to get a thought out today. And sometimes I read my Bible and I nothing jumps off the page. There's nothing that kind of grabs my attention. I it's just like I read words. And sometimes you'll do the same thing. And sometimes that'll last for a much longer time than what you want it to. And so there are going to be times in your life. By the way, how often that happens, it depends on your relationship with God. It may happen more than to others because you need that more than others. You may be basing your whole Christian experience on whether you feel good about it or whether you don't. And preacher, if I'm on fire, I'm going soul winning, I'm going to preach on the street corner, I'm going to do everything for Jesus, but if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to do nothing. And you need to be real careful during times like that. And think about the duration of it. Here David said, how long, Lord? And then he says this, forever? That means this. It means like this wasn't just a day. Amen? I don't think this was just a week. And I say this to you, sometimes it could be more than a month. Even more than a year. I know you don't want to hear that. But sometimes it's like that. That you're doing everything you can to get into the presence of God, seek the face of God, hear the voice of God, and it's repeatedly nothing, nothing, nothing. And so here's what we are to do when there is nothing. Notice his dependence. What did David do at the end of this verse? He said, I can't hear anything. I don't know where God is. I can't find God. The enemies are increasing. I'm in danger and I can't get a hold of God. What am I going to do? But I've trusted in thy mercy. Notice David said, Lord, he has trusted. And notice it's really a statement of faith too. I will trust. You and I have to do that as followers of Christ. You know what he's saying here? I know your character, God. And I know, God, that your mercies are new every morning. And I know that you have compassion toward your children. I will trust in the fact that I know your heart. And I know that you're not going to be gone forever. That's why it's so important that you and I get to know God, because if we don't get to know God, we won't know that God is merciful. That God is long-suffering and he's compassionate and he's kind and he's tender. He's my Father in heaven. And as my Father in heaven, he's looking down on me. And he is present with me, and he does love me, and he is caring for me. He has not forsaken me because I am trusting in who he is. And sometimes you need to remind yourself of Jesus and the Father and even the sweet Holy Spirit and just rest on who they are. Amen? Amen. David said this in Psalms 91 verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. I'm not going to abandon trusting him now because I can't sense his presence. I will trust him. If he doesn't speak to me today, if I can't get in his presence today, if I don't sense the Lord, I will trust in his mercies. I know what he said, and you know what he said. What did he say? I will what? Never leave you or forsake you. So even when you're in a time where it seems like God has departed, what do you have to do? I have to hold on to his promise. And I've got to trust. I don't see him now, but he sees me. I can't hear him now, but he hears me. Amen. Right? And David is doing that exact thing. He's saying, Lord, I can't seem to get a hold of you, but I will trust in your mercies. You know, a lot of times what the devil does here is he tries to beat you up. Say, oh, you're not hearing from God because you are worthless and sorry, and you know, you do this all the time, you're a pathetic person. You know, he just tries his best to just bring more discouragement in, doesn't he? Anybody ever felt that? You know, you're like, I can't get a hold of God. And the devil says, I know why you can't get a hold of God. Look at yourself. God's Holy Spirit corrects, he convicts us so he can correct us. The Holy Spirit of God, if he burns your heart about some sin, the only reason he's doing that is to correct that behavior in your life. He does it out of love. The devil criticizes you so that he can corrupt you. He's the one that tells you, well, you're not doing well anyway. Now, anyway, why don't you just go ahead and do the things the world wants? Right? God says, don't do that. Come to me. The devil says, hey, you can't get a hold of God anyway. Just go and do whatever it is you want to do. And he is trying to get you discouraged so he can destroy you. So you need to get to a place during this time that you say, no, I know I'm not much. I know I'm not great. I know I'm not the best. But I do trust in God's mercies. God is not expecting me to be the best or the greatest. He is a merciful God. Amen? Then notice secondly what he did. He said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You know, it's sad that some of us forget or don't know what it was like when we were lost. That last statement is for like young people who come to Christ at a young age. They don't remember even then they were lost and sinful. Amen? Is that true? But some of us were not saved when we were young. And we were in the world and we were in wickedness and rebellion and we deliberately sinned against God and we were rebels at heart and we forget how wicked we once were. Before you were saved? I know you might be still thinking, well, preacher, I was pretty good. No, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why is he out there plowing in the field? It's just for whatever he wants to do with it. It's not for anybody else. It's for himself. He lives for himself. That's why God said, the plowing of the wicked is sin. You think, well, my work is good. Now, why are you doing that work? Sometimes they're just doing it out of pride, right? And you don't remember how far down Jesus had to go to rescue you out of hell. You know, sometimes we sing that song. You know, he reached way down for who? For me. I was saved as a young man. But still, I had done so many evil deeds. When the preacher said, you know, wage of sin is death time, that means when you die, you deserve hell. And I said, absolutely. He didn't have to sit there and convince me that I deserved hell. I knew because of what I've done. I had done plenty to go to hell for. And Jesus, even in my sinful condition, received me and saved me. Even when I was lost, you know what he did? He called me. A corrupt, wicked, evil person. And he said, Tommy, I love you and I want to save you. Will you come to me? And I'm so glad one Sunday night I said to Jesus, yes, I'll come. And I trusted him as my Savior. But when you're saved for a period of time, you know what? You kind of forget how ungodly you once were. And in the dry times, all you're thinking about is, God should be here. God should be speaking to me. God should be here present with me. I'm a child of God. And you forget, hey, God had to rescue you from a sinful condition. And if you would just stop and think about your own salvation, it would cause your heart to rejoice. that you're not a hell-bound sinner, but you now are a child of God because of the grace of God. You need to remember His great salvation in your life, how He rescued you from hell. You know, you could still be lost and on your way to hell. How many of y'all realize that? And if it were not for Jesus, you would be. In fact, you might be there now if it wasn't for Jesus. But He saved you. And David said, I'm going to trust in, I can't see God. God seems to be gone forever from my life, but I'm going to trust in Him. And I'm going to remember He saved me. And if I don't see Him now, Brother Lewis, I'm going to see Him one day.
That's right.
If I don't hear from Him now, I'm going to hear Him one day.
Amen.
If I can't get in His presence now, I'll be in His presence one day. Amen? And then notice, there's something that's shocking in verse 6, what He does. He says this, I will sing unto the Lord. You say, preacher, sing in a time where it seems like you've been abandoned? Sing when God is nowhere? Sing in emptiness? Sing in dryness? Why should I sing when God has forsaken me? Psalms 22 is a prophetic chapter, and it talks about when Jesus died on the cross. I want to encourage all of you to read Psalms 22. And it is he says, you're casting lots for my garments. It is a prophetic passage about Jesus at Calvary. And it starts with these words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it goes through the crucifixion. And how the Gentile Romans are around mocking Him, and the people are jeering at Him while He's hanging on the cross. And He is thirsty. All of His bones, as Psalm 22 says, are out of joint. And when Jesus was on the cross, guess what He done? He sang. He's saying, I don't know how they sing it in the Hebrew. He's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In His loneliest, darkest hour, Jesus lifted up His voice in song. One reason to point all of us to this and say, hey, remember, this psalm is about me. But I think another reason is this. To show us what to do when it seems like God has turned His back on you. Sing, He said. Why should I sing? Because there's nothing that engages the soul like singing to the Lord. I'm a little bit jealous of the girls, Brenda and Ashley and Lonnie. They do the most ungodly thing. When the kids do something, the grandkids do something, they send it to Miss Brenda and all the other ladies. And they leave me out. And Brenda said, did you see the song that Lily was singing? I said, no. She said, well, it was in our girls chat, ladies. What do y'all call it? Girls, ladies. And I said, well, so I took it from her phone and sent it to my phone. And Lily's in the back in the car seat, and she's singing, I love you, God. 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 Now, I'm not saying she's in a time of darkness and loneliness, but she was singing to the Lord. And you could do something like that even when you don't feel like it. Faith is not doing what you feel like doing. Faith is obedience even when you don't feel like it. God says that He will inhabit the praise of His people. If you want to get into the presence of God, try singing unto the Lord. You know, when you do something special and someone says, "Oh, thank you." It means something, but you know, well, you got something from me, so thank you. It would be strange when you receive nothing from someone and they said, "Hey, you're so wonderful. I love you and I adore you." And you did nothing for them. In fact, it was in a lonely time and they still said, "Hey, I love you. And I'm so glad, you know." Wouldn't it? We usually only do that when we're wanting something or we receive something. And God is saying, "I want to teach you how, even when you don't seem to receive nothing from me, that is a time of worship." Amen. If you can worship God, sing to the Lord when there's nothing, the devil says, "What am I going to do with that guy? What am I going to do with her? I mean, this is really a prime opportunity for me." And they are worshiping God. They're singing songs of praise to God. This person is undefeatable. And I'm not saying to sing just, "Okay, I sung now, God, do something." I'm saying David says, "Even in this forgottenness, I will praise God. I will worship God in emptiness and loneliness and dryness." And by the way, I believe that God enjoys that kind of worship more than any other time, because He knows you are saying, "Lord, I love you. Even if I don't get nothing from you, I still love you."
Amen.
And then lastly, look at what He does. "Because He hath dealt with me bountifully." He hath dealt bountifully. David is remembering all that God has done for him in the past. And you and I, we keep so short accounts with God. It is terrible. I'm not talking about, we should have a short sin account. But all the blessings that God does for us, we seem to forget them like that. Have you ever noticed, you know, you've gone through this terrible time, you've cried and sought the Lord, and God met you and helped meet that need, and He was just so wonderful, and you just, "Oh, thank you, God." And then a few months later, you're in the same situation, and you're back to murmuring and complaining, and like, what's going on here? And then God's gracious, and He meets that need again. You know, some of us are repeat offenders. That when we face a trial, we act like God's never met our need any time before this. You know, all of a sudden, here comes this bill out of nowhere. You're like, "What am I going to do with this?" You know, and we forget, hey, we've done this. God has met these needs 100 times before. Amen? He has a wonderful record. In fact, it's a bountiful record. And when you're in dryness, you need to go back and look and remember, "Hey, I remember when God did this for me, and when God did that, and God blessed me here, and God met this need, and God was so good to me in that service, and I remember when the Lord did this." Why? Because it keeps your faith steady and strong until the light comes back on. Until the joy wells up again. Until when you go to pray, God meets with you in a marvelous way and you say, "Oh God, I've missed you and I'm so glad that you're with me again. What are you going to do when you face a time where your prayers don't go nowhere, no one's getting saved, everybody's going to sleep when you're preaching, you feel like you're just wasting your time and everybody else's time, and nothing's going right, I can't get a hold of God, what are you going to do? I'm going to trust in His mercy. I'm going to remember His character. I know He can't leave me forever because He loves me. He's my Father. My Father wouldn't do that for me. He's got a purpose in this. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to rejoice in my salvation. I know heaven's my future home. If God never speaks to me again, one day I'm going to speak to Him face to face. It's like Polycarp said, he mentioned this in Sunday school, He's been so good to me now, why should I leave Him? Jesus in John 6 said to the people, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the multitude walked away. They said, I don't know what that he's talking about here, but I am not going to eat His flesh and drink His blood, I can tell you that much. And the multitude left Him. Jesus turned to His 12 and said, will you go away also? And Peter said the most amazing thing. Peter gets criticized a lot. But listen to what he has said on this occasion. And it's not a shock. He speaks first. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no one else we can turn to. Muhammad don't have it. Buddha doesn't have it. No other false god. You are the only one that has it. It doesn't really matter to me what you say, and no matter how confusing it might sound, you are life. I am not going to leave you. Amen? Remember your salvation. Sing in your sorrow. You know, you don't have to always sing the songs that are in hymn books. There's some beautiful ones there, though. I thought about the last phrase of Bruce's song today. But you could do like Lily did. I love you, God. 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 Amen? And then remember, think back about how good God has been to you. The fact you're saved even now, and you in church, and God's blessed your faith. Remember how many wonderful, bountiful things that God has done for you. And that will sustain you. Those things will sustain you when it seems like God has forgotten you. Amen? They will sustain you. You will not turn away from Him if you'll do those things. If you don't, you might make the bad decision my dad made as a young boy and just go into the world and then after that cause a world of hurt. You don't have to live that way. Amen? Keep seeking Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, please come to Jesus this morning. If you're lost, our prayers that the Holy Spirit of God would draw you to Christ in this very service. If you are saved, and it seems like God has kind of just left, I encourage you to come and just pray. Talk to Him again. Say, Lord, I love You. I trust in You. I'll wait on You. Amen? Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer.